Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets broke evasion. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the AIM Towards the Target podcast. For those who don't know, I am covering a series entitled Broke Blessings, and my aim is to encourage listeners to think about the importance of God breaking some things in their life, because whenever God breaks something within you or off of you, there is always a blessing in anything He breaks. And of course, when God breaks anything off of us or in us, it doesn't feel like a blessing, and it doesn't look like a blessing. It doesn't sound like a blessing. But it is a blessing when God breaks things off of us, in us, under us, beside us, or around us. God is only doing that for us to produce more fruit in us. And there's a purpose in it. So if you haven't already, feel free to listen to parts 1 through 5 of this series as I target in on the motivational aim in this episode, broke evasion. And if you hear anything in the background, it's a bird. Matter of fact, it's several birds. But there is an account in the Bible that I want to share with you that fits within the scope of this motivational aim. And the reference that I'm going to refer to is Luke, the 9th chapter in the 18th through the 20th verse. And I'm going to read it, and here it is. While he was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others that one of the ancient prophets has come back." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Once again, I just read Luke, the 9th chapter in the 18th through the 20th verse. I encourage you to read that passage of scripture on your own in its entirety so you can see it and comprehend it for yourself with God's help, of course. But what's going on here is Jesus was with the 12 disciples. They were all alone. They were in private. And Jesus is praying to God the Father. And he asked the disciples a very important question. And that was, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Now, Jesus wasn't looking for the crowd's approval. Jesus wasn't trying to figure out who was talking about him and who said what and why they said what they said. No, Jesus questioned the disciples in this manner to see what the disciples would say. See, the disciples were following Jesus closely for 3 years. And when Jesus asks a question, he always has a purpose behind it. Jesus already knew who he was. Jesus knows who he is. Jesus knew that. He even knew all about the disciples and the crowds. But I believe Jesus asked the disciples this vital question for the disciples to see and for us to see how a person can follow Jesus and still be focused on what the crowd is saying and doing. So, jumping back to Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" Jesus asked this question to the disciples while they were alone in private, and there were no distractions. This was an upfront question, and the disciples answered, "Yeah, Jesus, the crowd said that you were John the Baptist. Others said that you are Elijah. Others said that you were a great prophet. And other people say that you're an ancient prophet that came back." So Jesus listened to what the disciples were saying. But when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" I heard what you said, what the crowd is saying, but who do you say that I am? And this is what I want to target in on. Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" He knew what the crowd thought. He heard what the crowd was saying. And he heard what the disciples reported back to him. But Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am. And only one disciple responded, and that was Peter. And Peter answered Jesus' question, stating, Jesus, you are God's Messiah. Jesus, you are the Lord. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, you were sent here to save us from our sins. Jesus, you're the King of Kings. You're holy. You are the Divine One. And Peter was the only one, as I just mentioned, he was the only one who answered that question. We don't read about any other disciples saying, Jesus, yeah, I agree with Peter. You are the Messiah. Jesus, you are the Lord. Or, Lord, the crowd said you are a prophet, but Lord, I know who you are. So I told them that you are the Messiah. We didn't read that. We only read about one person declaring that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Only one. And when Jesus asked that question to the disciples, who do you say that I am? Right there, Jesus broke evasion. And what is evasion? Evasion can be defined as the act of avoiding something one doesn't want to deal with directly. In a sense, that's what appears to be the situation we just read about. Jesus and the disciples were in a private place. It was an intimate setting. Jesus was praying, and then he turns to his disciples and asks them, who do the crowd say that I am? Now, the disciples had a response for that. But when Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? There was only a response from one disciple. And the question was posed to all of them. Now, did the other 11 disciples engage in evasion? Did the other 11 disciples evade the question? Why was Peter the only one who responded? Now, if the other 11 disciples evaded the question, why did they do that? We don't have the answer, but some possible reasons on why they could have evaded the question. One, it could have been because they were walking with Jesus. But what if they weren't absolutely convinced and sure and confident that he was really the Son of God? What if they believed it, but it just wasn't clicking for them in their mind? What if? I mean, yeah, they had evidence, but what if they weren't sure? What if they didn't allow themselves to believe it? Because if they believed it, they would have to relinquish all control of what they thought a Messiah was supposed to look like and what a Messiah was supposed to do. So what if it was okay for them to walk with Jesus because Jesus did represent righteousness and he represented something good. He represented leadership and change. And everything that Jesus was doing, it was dynamic. He had a good buzz going on. He was receiving attention. He was saying he was the Savior of the world. His actions were backing it up. But what if everything just didn't click in their mind? What if they had the same thoughts that the crowd did? They were walking with Jesus, but what if they had the same thoughts? Oh, yeah, you know, he doing some mighty things, and I've heard some prophets do some mighty things. So what if he is a prophet? What if he is this? What if he is that? What if that's the reason they didn't answer Jesus when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Another reason why the 11 disciples could have evaded the question. What if they evaded the question because that question exposed them? And what I mean by that is, it's easy for someone to tell somebody else what somebody else said about them. But when a person targets in on, okay, they said that about me, so what did you say? What did you say when they said that? How did you respond? Okay, why did you say this? Because you know this about me. And how were they able to talk to you about that? Why didn't you shut them down? Why are you bringing this back to me? See, a person can tell someone, oh, they said this about you. They said that. They said you're this. They said you're that. Okay. If they said that, and you've been walking with me, you've been talking to me, you've been in my company, you've been in intimate settings with me, you've been alone with me, why didn't you refute that statement? Why didn't you set them straight? What if, just what if, the 11 disciples didn't answer Jesus' question when he said, who do you say that I am? If they would have responded, they would have exposed what they did or they did not do. So instead of answering the question directly, they just were quiet. What if they were hoping that the question would just disappear, evaporate, get away from here? No, this was a direct question. And Jesus broke evasion. People couldn't evade from this question. Another possible reason why the disciples did not answer the question when Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? It could have been because they knew their state of mind at the time. And this is pertaining primarily towards Judas. Now, we know Judas betrayed Jesus. He betrayed the Lord. And what if he didn't speak up and answer that question because he knew he was being sneaky? He knew what he was doing behind the Lord's back. He knew that. He knew the thoughts he entertained. He knew the plots and schemes that he was about to engage in to betray the Lord. And what if, just what if, he was thinking as the Lord asked them, who do you say that I am? Judas couldn't respond to that. He couldn't respond to answering that question because if he said, oh Lord, you are the Messiah, then his actions would be brought into question. Because for someone to say, Jesus, you are the Messiah, Jesus, you're the Lord of Lords, you're the King of Kings, you're the Son of God. Well, if that's true, why would you plot on Jesus? Why would you steal money from him? Why would that person be snaky, sneaky, piggish, and wolfy? Why would they do that if they knew they were in the presence of the Most High God? So what if Judas did not respond because he didn't want to accept accountability for what he was about to do? And even though he plotted and schemed on Jesus, Judas, even though he did those things, Jesus still broke evasion by asking the question, who do you say that I am? Because when Jesus asks us, who do we say he is, we have to give an accounting also. If we say Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the King of Kings, Jesus is the Son of God, and we know that, our actions and our lifestyle should confirm that. Our actions should confirm that Jesus is the Son of God because we've been walking with him. We spend intimate time with him. We converse with him. We pray to him. We allow him to lead us. If Jesus is who we say that he is, the Messiah, there should be some sign in our life. We should never evade that question. That answer should be so evident in our day-to-day operations. So going back to Judas, that could have been why he didn't respond. Because if he did respond, then it would have been out there that he knew what he was doing. And he was doing what he was doing just to be defiant, disrespectful, and just hateful. Even though that's what it was, but I guess he called himself trying to evade, but Jesus still broke the evasion. See, those are just a few possible reasons why I believe the 11 disciples could have possibly not responded. And another reason could have been they didn't want to respond. They didn't know how to respond. Those are some plausible explanations also. But only one disciple boldly made the declaration that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. While the other 11 disciples said nothing. Now, Peter's response was the right response. And we want to be bold also. We want to be bold, willing, confident, and ready for anyone who comes to ask us who the Lord is to us. Who the Lord is. Who is Jesus? Who is God? Is Jesus the Messiah? Yeah, you want to be ready. And we most definitely want to be ready when Jesus asks us who we say he is. What did we say when someone said that about him? We want to be ready for that. And when you think about it, Jesus asks all of us all the time the very question he asked the disciples. Who do you say that I am? He does. And if you don't think so, let me go ahead and bring it to your attention. Jesus asks you and me all of the time the question, who do you say that I am? Jesus asks you that when you're worried. He'll ask it when you're anxious. He'll ask it when you can't think. Jesus will ask that question when your thoughts are scrambled up in your mind and you're trying to think about what you need to do, how you're going to do it. And you know what Jesus told you. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That scripture and that promise is found in Philippians, the 4th chapter in the 6th through the 7th verse. And then Jesus also said, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's found in Matthew, the 6th chapter in the 34th verse. See, we go through a lot in life. And people have a lot to say about who they think Jesus is. But if you look through your life experiences, your background, your past, your present, and where you aim to go in the future, it's important to know who Jesus has been to you that entire time. That entire time when you've been walking with him, talking with him, you know what he's done for you. You know where he brought you from. A person can say all day long who they think Jesus is. You should have your own definition backed up with promises found in God's word and your experiences in life that support that. Think about it. You've been walking with Jesus. What has Jesus done for you? Are there some miracles you've witnessed? Have you seen some breakthroughs? Have you seen God come through for you time and time again? And when Jesus comes to you in those states of worry and anxiousness, Jesus knows how to ask you, okay, I understand you're worried. I understand you're anxious. Did you forget what God promised you? Did you forget what I died on the cross for? Did you forget? Who do you say that I am? If you said I'm your Savior, what's the problem? If you said I'm your deliverer, what is the problem? Who am I to you? And we can't beat up the disciples who did not answer. We can't. Because has there ever been a time in your life where you didn't answer Jesus when you were anxious and worried about what was to come? Jesus asked you, okay, who do you say that I am? You know I'm the Messiah. You know I'm the King of Kings. You already know God is going to supply every one of your needs. But instead of answering Jesus, you just evade. You evade the question. You don't want to talk about God supplying your needs. You want to talk about how you're worried, how you're anxious. You want to pace the floor back and forth. You want to put your hands on stuff you have no business putting your hands on. You want to try to control it and manipulate it. When God told you, who do you say that I am? Because if I am everything to you, get your hands off of it. Cast that on me because I care for you. And this not only happens when we are anxious or worried. This happens when we're sad, we're weak, we're heartbroken, we're overlooked, we're disrespected. And we're trying to process what was done to us. We're trying to process what happened. We're trying to process how we're going to get through it. And then we start asking ourselves questions. Why me? Will I ever get through this? Will I make it? I don't know. No one understands me. No one understands what I'm going through. And right there in the middle of all of that questioning and pacing and racking your brain, crying and doubting, Jesus comes in and asks you, who do you say I am? I understand you're going through a tough time, but if I am your Savior, if you've been walking with me, if I am the Messiah, cast that on me. I've got you. I've got you. Because I already told you in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, in the 29th through the 31st verse, that I give power to the faint, and to him who has no might, I increase strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, if that's the promise, this is Jesus, if this is the promise that I made to you, what's the deal? Who do you say that I am? You say you believe in the Word of God. You say that you believe in Jesus. You say that Jesus died on the cross and by his stripes you're healed. If that's the truth, who do you say that I am? See, when Jesus comes to us and he's direct asking those types of questions in the middle of our pity parties, in the middle of our doubt, in the middle of our fears and uncertainty, Jesus is breaking evasion right there. We can't evade that. We can't run away from it. We have to make a decision and we have to be vocal about it. We have to stand up and proclaim who Jesus is in the midst of uncertainty, when nobody's speaking up, when we're going through difficult times, when we're happy, when we're sad. We have to declare that, okay, the crowd is saying this, the situation is saying that, my pain is yelling this, I'm over here crying about that, but Jesus is the Messiah. And if he's the Messiah, he can liberate me from everything. And he can break doubt off of me. He can break the pain away from me. Jesus is breaking evasion when he asks us that. Another example or scenario. Have you ever gone through rejection? I mean, have you ever been abandoned, mistreated, mocked, excluded? And have you ever thought, man, I serve the Lord. Why am I going through this? I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why am I going through this? Why me? I'm somewhat of a decent person. I aim to live right. Why am I a target? I'm tired, Lord. What's going on? This doesn't feel good. Why did they do this to me? And right there, in the middle of all of that, the Lord asks you, who do you say that I am? Once again, Jesus broke the evasion. He broke it. And the way he broke the evasion is while you were going through your rejection, going through your abandonment phase, the mistreatment phase, being mocked and excluded. Yeah, those things happened. Yeah, those things were wrong. But Jesus is asking you, who do you say that I am, even though you're going through that? Who do you say that I am? See, Jesus is breaking evasion. Jesus is not taking away from our feelings and what's going on and what people do to us and what we go through. He's not taking that away, but he's letting us know he's with us every step of the way. And we have to trust who he is. And who he is, he's a vindicator. He's a liberator. He's a deliverer. He is our friend. That's who he is. Let me give you another scenario. Have you ever gone through abuse, violation? You were discounted. You were insecure. Let's say you went through an identity crisis and you were thinking, Lord, will I ever get through this? I feel like there's no hope for me. I don't see a future for me. Where's my life going? I feel like I'm a loser. I don't feel like I'm winning. I don't think I'll ever get out of this. And then Jesus comes right on in while a person is declaring those words. As those words are leaving the gate of their lips, and Jesus asks them, hold up, who do you say I am? See, Jesus is not playing. He will break evasion. When we want to go down these rabbit holes of feeling sorry for ourselves, or we're thinking too much into things that we should have gave to God, Jesus will come on in and let us know, hey, who do you say that I am? Because if you said that I'm your vindicator, let me be that. If you said that I'm your liberator, let me be that. If you said that I'm your friend, let me be that. And then the Holy Spirit reminds us what Psalm, the 147th chapter in the third verse states. And it says, he heals, talking about Jesus, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Once again, Jesus is not taken away from people doing you in and doing you wrong, violating you and abusing you. But he's letting you know, yeah, they did that. I'm going to deal with them. But Jesus lets us know that he heals the brokenhearted and he will bind up every wound a person has. Spiritual wound, an emotional wound, a wound of regret, a wound of failure, a wound of shame, pride, a physical wound, a financial wound. He binds those wounds up. So when we go through what we go through, and we start questioning, doubting, we need to remember who Jesus is and who we were declaring him to be when everything was good. He's the same Jesus, even when things happen to us that we don't like and we feel that we cannot recover from. Another scenario, have you ever been talked about? Your name smeared in dirt because you refuse to be around toxic people. You refuse to be around manipulative witches and warlocks in your family, on your job, in the community, and even in that church. Okay? Now, some churches are dynamic and great, and then there are some churches that are not. There are some churches that don't want God there. They don't want Jesus there. And when you decide to leave institutions like that, communities like that, jobs like that, relationships like that, family members like that, friends like that, loved ones like that, who are toxic and no good and all they do is just smear your name in dirt, that's just what they do. They can't stand you. And all because of you setting some healthy boundaries, you find people screaming at you, plotting on you, scheming, and working with other people to hurt you as they hate on you. And while you're going through that, you're looking like, oh my gosh, all of this because I'm trying to walk with the Lord? All of this because I'm trying to do the right thing? All of this because I'm trying to maintain my intimate, God-honoring relationship with Jesus Christ? All of that? Now, you know what you're doing is right, and it has to be done because you will not go through those generational curses. You won't be at that job talking smack and gossip about the boss just to be in. No, you're not doing that with people at school if you're in school trying to be with the popular group. And the popular group is not that popular. They're just some messy, toxic people. No, you're not doing that. Now, you've elected to not participate. You've elected to not swim in the sewer. And you know you did the right thing. You know you're doing what God told you to do. So you find yourself at home in the car. Oh, Lord, it's tough. It's hard. Why gotta be so hard? If only they just could see, like, I'm really trying to do the best I can. Why? I'm alone. It's rough. And you crying, you asking for strength. Lord, help me. Are you here? I feel alone. I feel alone. I mean, that's my mama. Why would my mama do that? That's my daddy. Why would my daddy do me like that? That's my sister. I can't believe my grandmother would say those disrespectful, hateful things. Why would my aunt stir up all that trouble? She's messy. I thought she loved me. Why? Maybe it's me. I know this has been going on before I was born, but maybe I did something. Maybe I just need, let me go back. I just don't want to be alone. It's hard. It's hard. Why would he do me like that? Why would she do me like that? I'm just going to do everything I can to make them love me. I can't do that. God's not coming. It's wrong. I just got to leave, but I don't know where to go. What do I do? And Jesus comes in right there. Right there. Right there and says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? And then the Holy Spirit brings to your attention Proverbs, the 19th chapter and the 19th verse. Now, you already know what you're going through with these fake friends, these fake relatives and family members who keep up mess and toxic trash, basic trash, nasty trash. Just all kinds of disgusting things they have going on. You know it. And you know the Lord told you to get away from there. And yeah, they're talking about you, saying whatever, because it doesn't matter. But they're saying all of this to you. All of this trash to you, trying to get you sucked back in to the toxic vacuum of lies, hate, and just dysfunction. You know the Lord told you to leave that church, leave those people in that clique, stop talking to those people at that school. He told you to stop sitting in that break room, looking for somebody to talk to at the job. He told you that. And yeah, people are talking about you, saying you acting funny. Who do you think you are? And all they do is stir up trash, confusion, distress, discontentment. They just stir up every kind of wrong thing. And then the Holy Spirit reminds you, after Jesus tells you or asks you, who do you say that I am? Proverbs 19:19 says that a man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. And that's letting us know, leave people alone. Leave them alone if they're toxic. You can't change a toxic person. You can't help a toxic person like that. And they're letting you know they want to be ignorant and toxic. That's what they want to be. That's what they want to do. You can't help them. Because if you call yourself trying to deliver them, trying to show them that you're a good person, trying to show them that you've changed and you're going to do everything that they ask, you're going to acquiesce to their demands, you're going to just help them out, you're trying to get them on the straight path because you see the potential in them. If you try to deliver them, you will only have to do it again. The reason you'll have to do it again is because they are an individual of great wrath. And if they have this great wrath on the inside of them, they need to pay the penalty for that alone. Because when you insert yourself in that over and over again, that's all you'll be doing. You'll be in a hamster's wheel of trying to save people that God didn't tell you to save. That's for them to go to Jesus to get saving and deliverance from. That's not for you to do. So when Jesus tells you to get up out of that, do it. So it's no need to cry about it, saying, oh, that's my mama, that's my dad, that's my granny, that's my sister, that's my godmom, that's my neighbor, that's the church mother. Why'd she do that to me? You know why they did that to you? Because they don't like you. They don't like you. So now that we know they don't like you, let's not try to fix it and try to figure out what we can do to make them like us. We understand, oh, they don't like me. They hate me. They can't stand me. So if people can't stand you, what do? You leave them alone. If they're showing you they cannot stand you, you disgust them. They always have some kind of snide remark, saying something fly under their breath to your face about what you have on, what you've accomplished, how you're keeping God first, and who do you think you... They don't like you. Leave them alone. Walk away. So it's no need to cry about that. That's why Jesus came and said, who do you say that I am? Because if you say I'm your Messiah, and you say that I'm Jesus, and you say that I'm the King of Kings, and you're supposed to be imitating me, and you're not imitating me, because I wouldn't cry about that. I'd leave him alone, and I'd go do what God told me to do. You see how Jesus breaks evasion? He's not playing. Another scripture I want to share with you as it relates to this scenario is Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 24th verse. And it states, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. Don't do it. Jesus is letting us know what time it is. And then there is another scripture that deals with dealing with and what you should do as it relates to living with or being around toxic people. This one is Proverbs, the 21st chapter and the 19th verse. And it states, it is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. Proverbs, the 26th chapter and the 5th verse states that if you answer a fool according to his folly, he will be wise in his own eyes. That's why you need to leave folks alone. Because if they are fool, if they are ignorant, you get into a word salad with them, you get into this debate with them, trying to let them know that they were wrong and they should have done X, Y, and Z. They don't care about being wrong. They don't care about that. Just you showing emotion and crying and raising your voice and trying to tell them how you felt about the matter and how they did what they did was just not right at that. What? The fact that you're communicating with them and they're saying what they're saying, they think that they are wise. No need to cry about this stuff. Let me go to another one. Titus, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse states, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing to do with him. See, that's why Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Because if I'm the Messiah and you're walking with me, you're talking with me, you're praying to me, what's going on? You shouldn't be even going through this with these types of people. Leave them. Walk away from them. Forgive them. But don't think that you can change them. Because sometimes these types of individuals don't want to be changed. And then the next scripture I want to go over is 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 33rd verse. And it states, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. See, all that crying about, it's my mom, it's my dad, why? It's my cousin, it's my relative, it's my boyfriend, my girlfriend, it's my spouse. Oh my gosh, like, why would they do this to me? I really love them. Why? I don't want to leave because I understand it's toxic, but I just want to stay. I gotta. No. No. Jesus already told you, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So all that crying, Jesus will come on and break it. Break the evasion. Break the illusion. He'll break it. Well, a person has to deal with the thing head on and recognize God is God. And if God is who he says he is in that person's life, you need to leave that alone. Walk away from it and walk with God in the direction he's taking you. And when we're walking with Jesus, he's always going to take us away from scenarios and toxic people like that. He's going to do it. Yeah, let me give you another one. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever experienced someone making it their mission to misunderstand you on purpose? Because if they reveal that they understand you, it exposes their vile nature, their malicious intent, and their calculated chaos. Whatever you've gone through and whatever you are going through, remember, you are still here because God carried you through so much, and that is a miracle and that is a blessing. Aim to not allow what you're going through or what anybody else is saying about you distract you and get your attention off of who Jesus is. Don't let anything distract you on who Jesus is to you and who you know him to be. The aim is to answer boldly in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the uncertainty, the way Peter did. It's one thing to hear about what other people are saying about Jesus, but it all boils down to your relationship with him and what you say about him. How you live is a response to who Jesus is to you. How you communicate is a response to who Jesus is to you. The decisions you make, the way you handle conflict, the friends you have, the relationships you have, the way you treat others, the way you respect others, your obedience to Christ, all of that is a response to the question Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Our response should reflect our relationship with him. So before anyone says, yeah, those disciples were wrong, they should have said what Peter said. If we are honest, if we are truly honest, we can think about times similar to the scenarios I just provided when we went through things. We were looking at the crowd, and the crowd could represent hard times, insecurity, things we were going through, anything, and people. We can look back and see, as we went through that, did we, in every scenario, did we evade the same question Jesus asked the disciples? Have we ever done that? When we were going through something, Jesus came in and asked us, oh, okay, I understand you going through that. I understand that's what your situation says. I understand that's what the health report says. I understand that's what they said and whatever's going on. But who do you say that I am? See, when Jesus does that to us, he broke evasion. He's breaking evasion. It's broken. The aim is to be as prompt, bold, and quick as Peter. The aim is to think about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and how faithful he is. And what a blessing it is to be connected to Jesus. And no matter our feelings or no matter what we're going through, Jesus loves us enough to break the evasion off of us. He loves us enough to break the doubt. And the way he does that is he reminds us through a question, which is, who do you say I am? That is a blessing. It is a blessing that Jesus checks our hearts, our minds, our motive, and our overall lifestyle response. And the scripture I would like to review with you once more is the one I've repeated throughout this episode, targeting in on the motivational aim, broke evasion. And that scripture is Luke, the 9th chapter, in the 18th through the 20th verse. And here it is. While he was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others that one of the ancient prophets has come back. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. Let this serve as a reminder to always break away from the evading question, who Jesus is to you. And remember, it's a blessing when Jesus breaks evasion off of us, because it forces us to answer the question, who Jesus is to us, because we know that Jesus is the King of Kings, he's the Messiah, he's our healer, he's everything we need him to be. And when we go through life's trials and tribulations and challenges and obstacles, we need to be bold enough to proclaim who Jesus is in the midst of all of that. All right, remain encouraged and empowered. Thank you all for tuning in. Feel free to visit my website, drkenitrabryant.com, where you can download some Bible study resources, order some apparel, and you also have the option to follow me on Instagram at Aim Towards the Target. Enjoy your day. Peace and God bless.